Welcome to Intrepid Scoundrels, an actual play podcast of the Scum and Villainy RPG. I'm Jason, and I'll be your GM.
I'm John, and I'm playing Ezequiel De La Cruz, a rough-and-tumble scoundrel.
I'm Mark, playing Duncan Brell, your ship's mechanic.
I'm Scott. I'm playing Brylan Chencott, also called Bry or BC at Grizzled Stitch.
I'm John R. I'm playing Wyndham Whoosh Woo, the ace pilot of the Intrepid.
I'm Tim, and I'm playing Rail Card, the human mystic with a dark and mysterious past.
I'm Ron, and I'm playing Jenksus Biogeny, a down-on-his-luck mayor and the group's muscle.
And now, on to the episode. And welcome to the final episode of Intrepid Scoundrels. Dun, 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 dun. When last we left everyone, you had taken over the memory of Varl, basically gotten into all of its systems, and now you control the lights and the smells and the sounds. You're in the process of just gonna rob Baha the hut, just completely take him for everything he's got in here and gun on out of here, maybe causing some chaos in the meantime. Yep. Zeke's gone off to fetch Sice Noodles to make sure she can get off the ship in time. Duncan's hold himself up in the bridge, and the other three have head back to the secret cargo hold where all the goodies are when they meet Inquisitor Spire coming the other way through the bulkheads, basically through the blast doors that you've closed in his way, cutting through with his lightsabers. As he spots Rail, he says, "Oh, it's time for our reckoning, our final reckoning, I think." And he's got his two lightsabers hooked together, and he, you know, immediately begins twirling them around just for fun, right? But he is basically sort of like in the way. You could go, if you wanted to run from him, you could go a different way, of course. But like, here he is, the sort of the dark side to Rail's light side. What do you want to do about this? Let's go get right into it.
Hold him off, Rail. We'll get the treasure.
Bastards!
I'm gonna scold him for ruining the bulkhead.
All right, so it fell down, and it just fell down. It's
and he sort of stepped through, and he's in front of the hole, basically.
Okay, is he all right? Okay,
and he's armed, clearly armed.
Yes,
ready to go.
He has two to mine, so I will go ahead and activate my lightsaber.
There it is.
Nice.
The glow of your orange lightsaber sort of filling the corridor here against the angry red of his lightsaber. He's sort of like, I sense that you've had some training since last we've met. Jedi.
Sure, whatever.
Sure, whatever. You're not even going to tell him about the ghosts of the High Republic. Come on.
Boy, and howdy, as he had some training.
Yeah.
Show him what you've learned, Rail.
Look, yeah, he did not train in witty repartee.
Yeah, so I go ahead and I'm just going to go ahead and straight up do kinetics, and I'm going to throw that hatch, his cut bulkhead.
Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah.
At him. I'm going to like flip it up and slam it into him.
Seal it back up.
I love it.
Yes. We're going to call this risky limited, because you're facing off against this Sith Inquisitor.
Okay. So I have a weird thing that I I'm really kind of amused that I didn't see this. One of the abilities is the way, and it says you can spend a gambit instead of paying any stress cost.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, you haven't noticed that.
I haven't noticed that at all.
A bunch of stress for one thing, like resisting a complication. You would say, "Oh, that's going to take 5 stress." Oh, I don't want that. I'll just spend a gambit. Okay. I mean, you can use them one for. You feel, "Oh, I'll spend a gambit instead of taking 2 stress to push myself." That's also fine. But you get that the full the real bang for the buck is when you might take a big chunk of stress at once.
When to avoid. Yeah, okay. So I'll take the 2 stress, and I got the kinetics and. Come on. There it is.
Give me that tune. Risky. Okay. Limited.
Risky. Limited. All right. Got it.
Oh, that's
One, two, three.
Wow.
1, 2, 3. Not great. So you go to flip this thing up sort of in his face, and he immediately just sort of also does, you know, a force push against it as well, sending it flying back into you. And this is something that I've been sort of like toying with the ideas of how mean to be with consequences. So you want to resist them. This, yeah. And I'm going to start doing it in this last episode. This thing connects with your chest and throws you back and down, and so basically essentially crushing most of your ribs.
I want to avoid that.
It is, yeah. I mean, fair enough. It's going to start as a level, yeah, because I said risky, not desperate. It's going to start as a level 2 harm, and you can resist it if you want.
Yeah, and I'll spend the gambit.
cost you zero stress, right?
Yeah,
so right. Essentially, roll your prowess, because this is a sort of physical thing. Right. And the highest number you can roll, you're going to subtract that from 6, and you're going to take that much stress to resist this, to sort of bump this down, bump it down from a level 2 harm to a level 1, to sort of like, you just sort of maybe dodge out of the way just in time, right?
Okay.
Okay, so this is 1 stress you're going to take for doing
5, it. Yeah?
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, great. So you tap now level 1 harm, sort of bruised arm, let's call it, for getting into deflecting.
What do I do with haunted by my past?
Is that still there?
Yeah.
You got rid of it. Let's just get rid of it.
Okay.
I haven't called it into account much lately, but we could say you've relaxed enough.
I have a bruised arm. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
All right.
You can take 2 level 1 harms before you have to bump them up.
Okay.
Anyway. And you barely dodge out of the way. He says, "Pitiful. I don't know why you've been such a thorn in my side for so long."
Why are you so concerned about him anyhow?
Yeah, why don't you just leave me alone? I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
Not doing anything. You're a Jedi, standing in the light ways of the Force. You must all be crushed.
What is your term of Jedi? What training do you think I've had? There are no more Jedis to train with.
Then fine, then. Stand with me. Turn to the dark side.
Wait, don't do that.
It's not interested. I'm fine with just being in the middle, not being noticed. Nobody
then
harmed.
You must be crushed.
Well, see.
And he comes at you with a double blade, right?
Okay.
This is not a, you don't have to make a roll for this, but narratively, bam, he comes at you, right? And you maybe block it with your lightsaber real quick. And this is beginning to be a full knockdown, drag on fight. Now, BC, Jenksis, you're there. Do you want to do anything?
Well, I was going to leave him to hold his own, but he did kind of terribly.
You could wield the bulkhead.
Back together?
Wield it, not weld it.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. Like the bulkhead that he knocked over. Just pick it up with 2 hands and try to just slam him across the back with it while his attention's on rail. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. And then just say, this is the way.
Are you gonna scrap? You gonna scrap with him?
I'm totally gonna scrap.
All right, risky, also limited because this is
risky limited. Yeah. All righty, I am gonna say as I do it, this is what Rails learned: how to count on his friends. I gain +1 D whenever I'm striking in combat, and I'm gonna spend 2 stress. I'm assuming that frankly, the edges of this are probably pretty hot, so.
Yeah, fair. I mean, yeah, I'll call that my, a little bit by then, but. Yeah.
My 2 stresses. By picking up and swinging at him. Only a partial success.
Okay. You You do hit him with it, right? And it is you not kind of like no, it's just as you're bringing it down on him, and he's sort of like, you know, sparring a little bit with Rail, and as you're about to bring it down on him, he turns and he cuts it in half with his lightsaber. And so you kind of like, he still hits him, you know, still gravity still coming at him, right? It's still gonna, but he kind of cuts through it to essentially sort of cut it to one side. As he does that, he again goes from his sort of double lightsaber to two lightsabers, and he basically is putting one up against at your chest, Jinxus, and then sort of blocking whatever strike from Rail is coming with from Rail's lightsaber. So I'm going to put you all in a desperate situation now from that.
Oh boy.
Yes. Oh boy.
But as he does that, his chest is exposed.
Sure. Do you want to do something? Do you want to shoot him?
Yes. Do something.
RC Cola. BC Cola, do you want to do a...
I put a Mentos anything. In myself and fizz at him.
Pop off. The fresh maker.
Yes. I'm trying to use my doctoring ability at this point. It cost me 2 stress, but I can use my doctoring instead. I'm not a scrapper.
Oh, yeah.
Drug him.
Right.
Yeah, really. Well, here, drink this. Drink this.
Well, maybe you have a trank dart or something.
I do have syringes with me in my loadout.
Yeah, you can just
normally
chuck a syringe at him with your doctoring.
So yeah, kind of try to find an open spot there as a doctor.
Yeah, that makes perfect.
Assuming that would be normally scrap, but I can spend you can 2 scrap to doctor
to
it,
use doctor for anything. So yeah, great. We're gonna call this one again. Still risky, limited.
Risky limited. Okay.
Yeah.
And I've got 3 dice, so we'll see if I can do something good.
Ooh, look at that.
A six.
Nice.
You didn't spend a gambit, so you give the crew a gambit.
We're up to 5 now, something like that?
Yeah, 4, I think.
5 at this point. So you get a syringe out and you chuck it at him? Do you like just sort of like step up to him and jab him in the chest?
Well, he's got like one lightsaber. Yeah, he's got his hand stretched out guarding 2.
Yeah, exactly.
I sort of take the option to take the opening. I don't know that I'd be good at. Yeah, I just plant it in him.
Okay.
Just straight up plant it in
him. Run up it. Run up yep. And just sort of jab it in his
squeeze.
Chest. Push the plunger down. He just sort of immediately staggers back and with the needle kind of still poking out of his chest.
Hey, that's mine.
insolent fools, he says. And it's a little unsteady on his feet, but he's still on his feet.
Right. That's only going to slow him down a little bit. It's not going to stop him, but hopefully it gets the pressure off you guys.
But the other 2 of you, I forgot to say that, you know, the group wasn't not necessarily in this desperate position. I want to put it for Rail and Ron. Whoever rolls next is going to be in that desperate position that I had earlier, because he's in, you know, again with the lightsabers out and both your faces. Let's though pause there for a minute and take a look and go back to the ballroom, where the ballroom. Zeke. And with Duncan kind of semi-watching over it all, what do you want to do? You're hearing commotion, right? Baha the Hutt is just basically sort of screaming out at everyone and says, this is not a negotiation. Your rackets are my rackets now. And there's other sort of Hutts sort of arguing with him, a couple of Rodians sort of screaming. It does seem like maybe the Gamorreans are distracted. As well.
Yeah, I want to try to. I want to try to get her out of here. So,
okay.
Pass a message to her, and maybe indicate a path of doors that she can go to and through.
Well, she could meet you behind the stage if she can break away.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what I'd like to.
Right?
Yeah. So I can. I'm doing roadie stuff, and so maybe I'll see if I can bring out a piece of equipment to kind of hide her movement away, kind of thing.
Okay. Do you want to make that a skulk?
Yes, I do.
All right.
We'll and call this risky.
Risky standard.
Wait, I'd like to use one of our gambits as well.
All right, it's gambits.
Okay. Risky standard. We'll add one. And we'll partially succeed.
All right, partial success on that one. So you grab like an amp, you know, sort of a futuristic-y looking amp. And maybe you get on the cans first, just sort of like we were saying that she's got a monitor on, so you can just sort of like tell her, "Sigh, you know, now's the time. Let's get you out of here."
Right.
She is ducking away. I'm trying to think of what a partial success is on this sort of situation. Okay, the complicated, she's, you kind of maybe like place the amp down, and she's able to kind of like get a little bit of, sneak a little bit away, but while you're out there, an actual scuffle kind of breaks out. One of the sort of more muscular huts, this Lambo the Hut, who is in charge of sort of like lots of that illegal pod racing gambling on Tatooine, is, you know, say he's not as he's corpulent like all huts are, but maybe he's got a little bit more sort of like upper body mass as well, right? He is like basically is like, "Bah, tell your pig lackeys to keep their hands off me," and he shoves one of them, and this Gamorrean comes tumbling backwards into you, basically kind of like drawing kind of the room's attention in your general direction. Boom, and you're kind of bumped, and maybe the two of you are on the ground now.
Okay. I will profusely apologize for getting in his way and try to clean up his armor or whatever. I'm going to try basically.
Okay, yeah. Just sort of like present yourself as nobody to be.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
We'll give you a risky standard on that one as well.
All right, I will try that. How many gamuts do we have?
We've got three.
So many. You should use one.
I'm going to use one.
All righty. Down to two.
Five.
Another five. Okay.
That was maybe a little ham-handed.
All right, I know what happens here. So you're like brushing him, both of you are sort of getting up, and he's just like, "Get off me," kind of like shoving that. And as you're sort of brushing him off, and both sort of standing up, trying to make light, you know, he notices that you happen to have Trosk's gun still, or at least a gun with a dampener on it.
Right. Okay.
Right. He kind of, you know, and you probably weren't wearing it directly on your belt. You probably had it tucked away. But in the process of you sort of getting knocked over, kind of maybe some of your shirt kind of got pulled up a little bit, right? And he's like, what have you got there? Why do you have one of our anti-dampener patches on your gun? What's the meaning of this?" And this is just the Gamorrean, by the way. The huts are not quite paying attention to you.
Yeah,
just this Gamorrean.
I just found this out here. Is this yours?
Give it to me.
Okay.
Barrel first.
You're not allowed to have these. Okay. If you give it to him, he's just going to just take it from you and kind of like then just shove you away. Just get out of here.
Yeah, that's fine with me. I lose my dampened weapon. Yeah. Okay.
An anti-dampener. You're undampened. I don't know, whatever.
Undampened.
Yeah.
Dampen proof.
Fair enough. So, and then you kind of meet Sai back, sort of backstage, and the two of you can kind of creep out into the hallways.
Yes.
Do you want to head back to the bridge?
No, I'm going to head back to where we're transferring cargo.
Okay. You're kind of rushing down there, and she's like, Sai's like, "Yes, Mark.
Can I follow their progress, their life signs on the monitors?"
you have a little bit of that, some grainy footage from the ballroom and some maybe a couple of hallways, but you definitely see when two life signs leave the ballroom, you get a general idea that it's most likely that it's them.
I want to try to kind of clear the way for them. Lock doors or use like a fire suppression system to clear people out of corridors that I think they're going to go down.
Fair enough. Give me a rig check then.
Sure.
Risky standard rig check.
Risky standard.
You can't electrify the hallways too. That's
Some of them.
If you want to shock
them, I'm waiting for that.
To unconsciousness.
That'll make them move faster, won't it?
A five. That's a partial success.
Yeah, partial success. So, you know, for the most part, you're sort of like helping them get a little bit towards the one of the cargo bays where you're eventually gonna get out of here. Sai is just like to use the like, oh darling, oh this is not what I expected this all to be. Oh darling, is this much? Are we just leaving this place, getting out of here?
We are heading out, but you will be well compensated for your troubles.
Oh, I should have known, Zeke. I should have known. This is all part of the plan. As you guys are sort of moving through the corridors, you get to the sort of one of the sort of cargo bay doors. No one else is there to meet you, with the exception of Lech, the Kowalkian ape lizard, who's just kind of patrolling. He doesn't look like he's not on high alert. He's just kind of been marching around. But the two of you kind of maybe skid around the corner, and he spots you, and he recognizes you from Wiko, planets and missions ago. And he's looks at you like,
remember
film and music production? Video.
Yeah, we have our new star here.
What are you doing out here in the hallway?
Well, she left some of her important equipment back there, so she said she needs some of it. For the production. I'm dressed as a roadie, you know.
This boss wouldn't let a production happen here.
No, we're getting it to bring it back. She has to tell, I don't know what she needs in particular. So she's got to point it out. If you want to help us out, I'm sure she'd be willing to chip in a tip for you.
Ain't nobody supposed to be leaving the ballroom.
No, we're headed right back. Right back. You can go call and check.
Maybe I will.
And hopefully Braille's been hearing all these comms here, what I've been discussing. Well,
Duncan, you're on the bridge.
I mean, Duncan.
Down here in the hallway, you watch as Lech kind of goes to a sort of a wall comm unit and says, Lech to bridge. Is Trosk there? I need to talk to Trosk.
Bridge here. What can I do for you?
Is Trosk there? I need to talk to Trosk.
Trosk is busy with something. I'll handle it.
All right. Well, there's a music production here.
Oh yeah, they're going to get equipment from the cargo hold, right?
I guess.
Yeah, that's authorized.
Oh, I don't know. I should talk to Trosk. I need one of you to give me like a sway or something, basically.
I'll do the sway.
Why don't we do this as a group effort?
Oh
yes.
Both of you roll sway, and one of you takes stress for the one who fails.
All right.
I'm at three stress. How's your stress?
That's not fair. You're just assuming they'll both fail.
I have two stress.
One.
And no sway.
Okay.
Okay, it's a given.
I'll take the stress, whatever.
Okay.
Okay. One of you, odds are, we'll see.
I'm going to take the gambit. We're going to use another gambit on this.
Well, who's going to use the gambit?
Are we at a desperate roll yet?
All right, I'll call this a desperate roll. I know you want to use a desperate. I didn't do this desperate. This is, I think you guys are getting a little desperate here.
Right. Because I generate gambits on desperate rolls, even if I use a gambit. So
okay, okay, fair enough.
But if you succeed, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to. Yeah. But here's the question. Now, Mark doesn't have any dice in his way. He's going to be rolling two and taking the worst of it. And we could just say and just I'll just make sure that'll mean I'll take a stress probably, and just worry about your, because it's the highest of the two rolls that you guys are going to make or is going to be the result of this action. So you could just put it all into one roll and be like, hey, look, it doesn't matter.
Wait, I'm going to spend a stress to help Mark too.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So Mark, you have one die. And John, you are also spending a gambit for yourself. Yes.
So right. I add that as a modifier. Is that how that works?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. Just add that as a modifier. As
okay.
Well, which will give you one. And then John, you're rolling your however many dice and sway you have at this point.
All right. Here we go.
Hey, partial not success. A failure.
It's not a failure. Oh,
it's not a failure.
Okay. So okay. You don't have any stress from that. Just the stress you took from helping him. Right.
Right. I got it.
I guess it could have washed out one way or the other. It's just your standard. Don't forget to mark your XP for this. And then
I get XP. Yeah, all right.
Yes, don't forget about that. And you succeeded, so you get a gambit back, right? Because of your thing.
Do we both get XP for that?
Oh no, you have to roll a 6 to get the gambit.
Yeah,
back.
Yeah.
But you do both get XP.
But you do both get XP.
How much? Just one?
Just one. Yeah, in sway.
In this way. All right.
Yeah.
Or resolve, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Got it. No, in resolve, yeah. All right, well, okay, but there ain't no ships docked here. I'm gonna come with you.
Fine.
Watch over what you're doing.
Sure.
Because it's a big day for the boss.
Oh, I understand. You want to lead the way? Or you want us to lead the way?
Where are you going again?
We're going to the cargo hold.
All right, come on. And he enters a code or whatever, and it gets into the cargo.
Feel free. You lead the way.
All right, so he steps into the cargo hold.
Yeah, I'm doing this because I know there's another party that's going to be down there.
Eventually. Okay. All right. Well, why don't we go see what's happening at that particular? They're in a hallway. Okay.
We've come and gone, done a lot already. So hopefully something's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see what's happening. Inquisitor Spire, a little woozy from the needle and of chemicals in his chest. What do you all want to do?
I take the initiative. I'm just gonna
lay
into him. So all
right. This is a desperate scrap. Right. You're doing with the lightsaber.
Scrap.
Right?
Not a tune. Lightsaber.
Are you lightsabering or are you
lightsabering?
I think it's got to be scrap for lightsaber.
Okay. Okay.
The tune is more for full like force pushes and whatnot, right? This is also desperate at this point. So you're the first one to roll, so you're gonna have the desperate action. Desperate, but it is standard effect since he's a little woozy now from the dart in his chest.
Okay. I'm gonna take a gambit.
All right, that's
our last one.
Is it the last one?
It is the last gambit.
All right.
Doing it?
Yeah, I'm gonna do it.
You need an assistance.
Oh, no. Good.
Six, yes.
Six, great.
You're marking XP, and I just plunge it into his chest
for the prowess. So you get in there, and you put him off. You know, basically got him completely off guard at this point, right? And maybe even just sort of getting a little bit of a wound on him, right? And now he's kind of on the back foot. Stepping back, maybe maneuvered in such a way that he's kind of like moving away from the way you want to go, right? So if you wanted to just sort of break off, you could head in the opposite direction to get to the secret cargo hold.
Oh, I'll jump in here. If he's sort of back footed and leaning away from Rail's onslaught, I'm going to get in behind him and just try to give him a big old shove right in the direction of Rail's lightsaber.
Okay, yeah, great. This is going to be risky standard.
Alrighty. I'm going to spend a couple of stress.
Okay.
Do I get an XP for that?
Yeah, you got an XP because you did a desperate action, so put that in your prowess.
And I get an extra. All righty. Risky standard, you say?
Yes.
All right. Partial success.
Five, man.
Okay. Yeah. I am, though. However, you get in there, right, and you should have given him a little bit of a elbow shove, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, maybe in the back of his, small of his back. And he is thrown basically sort of back forward, back towards rail. But as he is that, as that's happening, he kind of spins a bit and catches you with the lightsaber and chops off one of your hands.
Okay. That sounds like harm.
That's a harm. Yeah. That's,
I would like to not have that happen.
Yeah. Let's resist it. Roll me a prowess resistance roll.
All righty. Got a four and
a two stress then. You're going to take two stress from that. How you doing on your stress?
That fills up my stress entirely.
Yes. Okay. This means you are going to take a trauma. Okay. So you can see there's a list of traumas there just off to the side there.
Okay.
What, as rules is written, you're kind of out of the mission, essentially. Now, okay. What happens is you're only grazed by the lightsaber. So you're only taking a level one, like, mild lightsaber scorch. But
lightsaber burn.
Lightsaber burn. But that, you narratively, I don't super love to have you just sort of like, now you can't roll anymore, but you know, it's the end of the session. We're coming up. Mm-hmm. John, oh no, you're not talking to me. But we'll say you're narratively, you're there. But what kind of trauma do you think this is going to cause for you?
This is probably going to make me unstable, right? Who knows how I'm going to lash out now.
That's true. Well, special armor stops harm. Sorry, John's asking.
Wait! I do.
Okay.
I have heavy armor. Wait a second. Does that mean it stops stress?
I don't think it only stops harm. Now you could have. Okay. We could go back. We could take a step back and say that you wanted to soak that harm with your armor instead of resisting it. Is I think what John's getting at. So you don't take that two stress that you just took for resisting.
That's what I'm looking for. Is whatever's going to reduce the stress.
Yeah. So, I think though, level two harm, you can bump it down to level one harm by taking a tick on your armor, basically. Cause I think heavy armor lets you tick twice on harms.
I believe so.
So you can take a tick on that. And then not take that two stress. You can bump yourself down two stress. But again, it just turns it, instead of you sort of getting your hand chopped off, you take it on the armor on the shoulder, let's say, and get a lightsaber burn, a level one harm of lightsaber.
Level one harm. Sounds great.
Great. However, he is still sort of off balance. You've still keeping him off balance if anyone else wants to jump in here.
Right. It's time for the other part of the serum.
There's
always two parts to a serum, right?
You know,
epoxy, and you know, this is the mixture.
Yeah.
Going to do the same thing, which means spending a couple of stress. I'm getting up there too.
Mm-hmm. Risky standard.
Okay, and I don't have anything else I can do with that because we don't have. We don't have any other gambits or anything, so.
Can I give you a die by taking one stress?
You sure can.
I sure will.
Is that worth it?
Yeah.
I know you're close. Worth it.
We're always close.
Well, what if I accelerate it using the way?
Ooh, like, do you want to take the stress instead?
You're going to throw this thing. I'll take the stress.
Thank you.
So Tim will take a stress instead. You're still going to extra die. Yeah, you're basically...
Yeah.
You're not getting close enough to stab it in him. You're chucking it and then... Rail kind of
just like womp.
Yeah,
moves it right into his neck or something. Yeah,
all right.
We'll see how the roll goes.
And now for the sequel.
Nothing but fours.
Almost
fours.
Four
fours. Four fours.
Yeah.
Yahtzee.
The force is with
you.
We
needed one more.
Yeah.
Yes, I rolled the fours.
The fours. nevertheless, you get that.
May the fours be with you.
it should be good in this game, but it's
that's right.
We're not doing that. you get the needle into him, and it's just that, like, because you know, Rael had to kind of grab it with the force and kind of maneuver it. The plunger doesn't go all the way in; it just gets a little bit in, and so you get a sort of reduced effect here. He's a bit more woozy, but that should have taken him out, right? It should have been the second part of the to like paralyze his limbs or something. But right now he's just kind of got heavy limbs. He's got a little bit of that soporific in him, and he's just like, no. And it looks like he's trying to like gather up some force, some, you know, some dark side energy to maybe do something drastic here.
I thought the iocane powder would work.
No, he's been built. They don't understand. He's been building up an immunity to iocane powder all these years.
Several years, yeah.
Is there enough time for Rael to finish him before he does whatever he's trying to do?
He's locking his two sides of his lightsabers together, let's say. And you can actually sense as he's doing that, he's using the force to crush the kyber crystals inside the lightsabers to get an effect not dissimilar to the bleeding kyber crystal that you had to purge basically for that force ghost on Lanilia. So something drastic is about to happen unless you stop him.
Okay. I'm going to use, I think I need to do an attune, and I'm just basically, I'm going to throw him as hard as I can into the bulkhead or something. I'm just going to.
Sure. Like, yeah.
Like a pointy part.
Yep.
I'll support you and give you a die by taking a stress.
Well, can you do that if I'm using a attune?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's just a teamwork.
All right. Yeah, okay.
I drop down and get behind his knees, so when you push him, he knocks over.
So is
Ron
this...
really wants that trauma.
Just the force of gravity.
I think this is just standard. This is just risky standard.
Risky standard, okay. Here we go.
Hey, oh, a six.
There
a six.
We are.
A success. And you gain a gambit for the crew.
Yay!
This. So indeed, you get in and you just sort of put all of your will behind this force push. And he goes sailing backwards. And when he sort of hits the bulkhead, there's this small explosion in the area of his double lightsaber hilt that kind of consumes him from the inside, like this red energy just sort of burns. It's almost like to use a completely different series, a Star Trek disruptor shot, right, where it goes from the inside out, completely obliterating his entire form. Leaving
Sweet.
Nothing, not even clothes behind. Maybe the sort of twisted and slightly burnt double hilt of his lightsaber comes clattering to the ground. And as he does, he's screaming,
"Yeah!" And insult to injury, the plunger got pushed all the way in at that point.
And, the only thing that's left is his lightsaber and the syringe. which comes clattering to the ground.
Good, because I could use that.
All right, we got treasure to go after, y'all.
Yep.
So the you move on. So I think I'm to understand something, John. You and Cy were heading towards the secret cargo hold. Was the plan?
Whenever,
okay, I wasn't sure about that.
Wherever the other crew was going.
Okay, yeah. So you're there. You just got Letch to kind of like get in Cy, and he's opened it up. Him sort of patrolling in front of it made it less secret than it probably should have been. But he's able to sort of like move, you know, he knows how to open it up, and he's stepping inside when these other three.
As he's going halfway through,
mm-hmm.
Duncan, can you close that quick?
Sure.
Oh, you want to try to crush him?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
You want to roll for that?
Yeah. I mean, you're gonna have to. I'm gonna need to roll that. You're gonna need to circumvent the safety features.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not the GM. Here Scott is. No, let's do it. Oh,
I will attempt to assist Duncan with that.
By spending
timing stress. Wise and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to get the timing right and you got to wave the camera stress just in the right time.
Help out.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that a risky standard?
I will say risky standard.
Okay.
I love it.
And plus one from him. And that's five.
Okay.
Partial success.
You succeed. You close the door on him, but it doesn't like crush him to death or anything. It just kind of gets him stuck in there. And he's like, what? What's going on here? What the heck? Get the thing off me. And he's trying to like push his way. I mean, it's clearly he's injured from it. He got a little bit crushed. Maybe you know, one of his arms is broken. But he's trying to like push at it with the other arm. And so basically, you know, now this half crushed and Colcane Ape Lizard is in the way of all the treasures.
Yeah, but then the whole party's gonna be here to pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, and the other three should have run around the corner to see this scene.
Mm-hmm.
So the four of you are together with Size Noodles and
Little Help
still on the bridge.
Little help.
Well, you got somebody stuck there. I can help out.
No, that's the bad guy. Need to finish the job.
What did he do?
You started the crushing without me.
I blame Duncan.
I got the first hit. Well, you can finish him now if you want. You can have my leavings.
Jeez. Ron, do you want to get in there and just like continue to close the door? Just sort of like,
does he have any way he could like squirm out of where he's at?
Eventually, yes.
Well, I'll want to hustle that along. I'll say, oh, I'll give him a good crushing unless he's got the sense to get gone, and then give him a second to I want to use command rather than scrap.
Oh,
scare him off.
This should remind you of what Lech looks like. One of these guys.
He's a big, taller fella.
He's a big fella. Now one of his arms is kind of dangling kind of uselessly. Okay, so you want to just basically now sort of be like, all right, drop all pretense of whatever else was going on and tell him the jig is up. Get out of here.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. All right. Risky limited, I think, because he's also kind of dim.
Okay, I'd like to ask whether or not I get to add my extra dice that I get when I'm trying to intimidate someone immediately after a show of force.
Yes, you get that die.
Okay.
Some force has been shown, not necessarily by you, but by your allies. So,
but it wasn't the... It was a six.
Six, yeah.
Oh, another gambit.
Sweet.
A gambit,
yes. Well, now it's two. Yeah,
you now we're two, yeah.
We're up to two now.
We doubled it. Okay, yeah. Oh, no. Cross ain't going like this. Let me out of this door. And he kind of shoves it a little bit more open. He's able to get out of here, and he's got one kind of broken arm, and he's just sort of like limping away. Maybe one of his legs has also got a little busted up.
You should get that looked at first.
Don't anyone of you touch me.
Oh, I can help.
Austin ain't gonna like this. Austin ain't gonna like this at all. And he kind of scuttles his way down off the corridor, out away.
Duncan, can you lock him in a room somewhere?
Should be able to do that.
Well, we're gonna be long gone by the time he causes trouble. Let's get through this cargo door, load up, and get out of here.
Yeah, electrify the corridor. I need to see this.
There you go.
Do you want to do that once he's sort of away from everybody else there?
Sure. Mark?
Yeah, don't worry.
I won't have you roll for that. It's too much funny. You're watching him, and it does actually look like he's coming toward the bridge. I was going to have him come toward the bridge to find Crossed. So as you watch him walk to, he's getting a little close, and you're like, flip the switch. And he's knocked out, unconscious, not a problem any longer.
Excellent.
All right.
You guys get into this in teamwork indeed. You get into the secret cargo hold. Again, you see it's chock full of some illicit drugs, some illicit boozes, some illicit artifacts from the High Republic era. A fair amount of stuff that would definitely fetch a pretty penny on the black market.
Mm-hmm.
And you're able to take, I mean, it It's also a fair amount of it, and there are only four, five counting Psi, I guess, here. And you can maybe load up a couple of the covered dollies or whatever. It takes a little bit of time, I think, if you want to get everything.
So, question, yeah. Is there an airlock attached to this thing?
I guess there would be, wouldn't there? Because it's a secret cargo hold. It's nearby an actual cargo, and it's near an actual cargo hold. It's more like a compartment than a cargo hold, right?
All right.
So, but it's adjacent to a cargo hold that does have an airlock.
We need to get the Intrepid attached to that cargo hold.
Yeah.
Duncan, you on it?
Yeah.
There's an oar.
No, it's not an oar. Well, go ahead, John.
Well, the oar is. You know, we could put these things in big old boxes or whatever they are, put a transponder and push them out and pick them up with the Intrepid after we disable this ship. Nobody else can get them anyway. I mean, one way or the other, get them out and get them on the Intrepid.
I will tell you that there are other ships nearby.
Okay.
Never the mind. Other crime lords ships are like basically sort of in a sort of similar orbit, maybe not directly outside the memory of Arl, but like definitely around the same planet to come pick up their bosses when the party's over, right? Okay. Maybe a nearby moon. They would be within sort of scanner range at the very least.
So we need to load
someone
them.
Would notice if that happened, right?
And I think ain't none of us in a sharing mood.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, simplest plan is the best. Just take what we can get, throw it in.
Yeah.
All right. Just grabbing a bunch of, maybe not grabbing everything, just grabbing a couple dollies worth, right? Getting Wyndham up on the horn and having him sort of like come a little bit closer so you can kind of like do a little bit of an umbilical dock onto the into the cargo hold.
Sure.
As that is happening and taking a few minutes to sort of do, you're getting into that cargo hold. Duncan, you're on the bridge still. What do you want to do there?
Well, I think it's getting kind of close to time I need to get out of here. So I'm thinking about setting up like a sequence of the doors along the route I'm going to take opening for me and then locking behind me kind of thing.
Sure, yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Until we see your timing.
It is going to require some timing, yeah. But yeah.
Can you put a delay feed so you could broadcast what's happening in the ballroom to everybody outside?
Yes, that's right, because we also want to bring a delay.
You could start broadcasting that right now. There's no reason to delay. By the time everybody else.
We don't want those ships here while we're unloading.
Yeah.
Fair point.
You could set that up. But you said with a rig roll, you can set this basically up.
Great.
Well, that or just eliminate the thing that's suppressing them from being able to contact their ships.
We want a delay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Do a delay, but just let them contact it instead of us broadcasting it.
But yeah, that's what I wanted to do is set up a delay so that word can get out when we want it to.
Yeah.
And then
basically when you're about to leave.
Yeah, when we're about to leave. The confusion of them showing up should screen our exit is kind of the goal.
Good call.
And then open up a way for me to get there. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, give me a risky, we'll call it a risky great.
Risky great.
You're in a position to make a big effect.
Grab a gambit on this. We've got two. Yeah.
Sure, I will do that.
And I will spend a stress to help again.
Fair enough.
Okay.
So I'm adding two dice to that.
Sounds right.
And here we go. There's a six. Right.
So yeah, you put in the what's the word I'm looking for? The commands to open the doors and set this thing off on a timer, and you just sort of end up strolling on out of there as casual as can be, stepping over Lech's body as you go.
That's right.
Making your way to the cargo hold where everyone else is loading up the last of the goodies into the Intrepid.
Mm-hmm.
you can all head on get, you know, you get on board.
I want to stroll casually into the room like, oh yeah, that's it. I guess we're about done here. Good. We can go
grab something.
I also make yourself useful. I also want to pick up the Inquisitor's lightsabers.
Oh, sure. Great. Yeah, yeah. Pick up his crushed hilt. Great. Perfect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You grab that and, got it. Why not?
And I grab my Tyrant, board... of course.
Of course, you need that. You need those. Those aren't cheap. You get into the Intrepid and start sort of like plotting in some hyperspace coordinates to get just the, you know, F on out of here. And as your hyperspace drive is spooling up, that's when the sort of feed comes across all channels, basically, in this sort of general area. And it is actually what you're seeing now is the outcome that Baja the Hutt has essentially strangled Lambo to death in front of everybody, in front of the other crime lords, the remaining few crime lords that aren't there, and you can then sort of like we see some scenes of Lambo's ship and his crews, you know, his sort of ship sort of like getting just sort of outraged, completely outraged. And as you're as the Intrepid is blasting into hyperspace, you can see Lambo the Hutt's ship, another sort of largish kind of frigate coming screaming from over from a nearby moon, actually like guns heating up and shields being thing and broadcasting a little bit like, you know, like, oh my god, you know this is the, oh, I didn't come up with a name for Lambo's ship, you know, this is the speed racer, you know, Baja, that you're in violation of you know, Hutt syndicate, you know, rules and stuff. It's just that, and it is clear, and other ships are coming and flying in as well. Pure and utter chaos that you're leaving this scene in, but almost to none the wiser of anybody else who's gone there, that you have just basically heisted like 75% of Baja the Hutt's private stash,
secret stash,
which is going to fetch a ton of creds on the black market. Maybe you go lay low for a couple days before you go ahead and sell that stuff. But eventually, you do. Talk to me a little bit about, before that, as you're sort of leaving, basking in a job well done, maybe you pop open a bottle of blue milk or some other Rancor's blood. You save that one from the first job. That's right. Save the bottle of that. And pour that around. Oh, you did kind of like take a lot of stuff from that general ship, didn't you? Pouring that all around, a toast again to a job well done. Let's hear a little bit about what maybe like an epilogue kind of scene would be for each of your characters. Now that, after you've sold a bunch of stuff, and maybe, you know, let's talk about a little bit where you might be. Did you retire? Are you still doing crimes? Et cetera, et cetera. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. This is Jenks's Biogeny back in the small town he got run out of as mayor by the crime syndicate that did it. And he's unrolling like a big poster on the side of one of the tallest buildings in town with his picture on the side. And it's "Vote Jenks's Biogeny for mayor. I can't buy your vote. Wink, but I'll buy your vote."
Terrific. I like to think that maybe you're like directing a couple like little sort of hovering droids that are pasting it up, and you're just sort of standing there.
Right.
Maybe you've got a new suit on. Did you get maybe a new suit and a new hat?
A fancier little hat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Great. Terrific. And people are just like, okay. Terrific. Who's next?
Okay. Rail. Mm-hmm. Rail's back at the high.
High Republic. Lanilia.
Yeah, Lanilia, and he's basically learning. He's basically taking more training and interacting more with the ghosts.
Right, yeah.
He also has the Jedi uniform on.
A robe, the full sort of like paddle.
Yeah, he's got the full. Robes, and he's brought other Jedi. His Jedi friend who is kind of introducing him.
Oh, he's brought that.
So there are other Jedi that are now there as well.
Terrific. Training in secret. Love it.
Yeah.
Who's next?
And in sort of step with that, I think BC would be, if allowed, a part of that. Mm-hmm. He's very force sensitive anyhow, very attuned. And has always been very curious, and that's just not an opportunity that he would like to give up. You know, he doesn't want to waste that opportunity to learn a lot more about the old ways and the new ways, and to be there and maybe not necessarily be a Jedi himself, but certainly be sensitive to it and, there to patch them up when they need it. And
exactly.
I'm not sure I know how to heal a ghost, but you know, maybe
they don't need healing. But we see this training sort of dojo sort of happening. Then we kind of pan over and we see BC with some like holocrons and some books and whatnot, sort of studying that under the tutelage of another Force ghost.
Yeah, just finding a lot of lost knowledge.
Enreal comes up and stands next to him and looks over his shoulder and then pats him on the back and walks. joins the other Jedi.
Nice. And what about the other two of you? Zeke and Duncan.
Duncan has used his wealth to start up a pod race team. He's put together some folks. He's got a driver. He is happy as can be tinkering with this pod racer, tuning it, making it better, and just going out winning races.
Nice. All right. And Zeke?
Well, Ezekiel De La Cruz, I'm going to go out and celebrate. I've enjoyed this time with this crew, but Wyndham and I, we got a ship. We got to go find another crew. Plenty more adventures to be had.
And we watch as the Intrepid takes off from a spaceport, a Tatooine spaceport where they just left Duncan's latest race, into the sky and blasting off to further adventures unknown.
Yes.
And that is our Intrepid Scoundrels campaign. Thank you so much, everybody. Everyone listening to us go through this sort of Star Wars kind of game.
And thank you, Jason,
thank you.
Yes, no, my pleasure. The game has been Scum and Villainy. They don't care, but to go check them out. They didn't pay us or anything, but obviously, go check out the game. It's good fun. It's a good game. And John, you're about to say something.
Yes, I will say, now that we're done being scoundrels, stay tuned for some new Intrepid Heroes episodes we are going to be looking at the Starfinder 2 or 2nd edition playtest.
That's right.
Ooh, nice.
Come join us for what will hopefully be a happy birthday.